Good morning. Whomever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whomever welcomes a righteous person in the name of the righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward.
Let us pray together. Lord our God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for blessing us with your presence this morning as we also find ourselves in the presence of one another as your family, family in Christ. We thank you for forgiveness of sins. We thank you for the opportunity to sing and express our love to you. And we now ask, God, that you would bless us with your message, with your word, that if there's something that is an obstacle that hinders us from being open to receive your message, I do pray that your Spirit will remove that and open us all up to be touched by your word this morning. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. We can get cold water whenever we want to, right? I have a container of cold water in my refrigerator, and I can just pour me some if I want to. Or I can just take some ice cubes and from the freezer put it in a glass of water, and I have cold water. At work, there's probably a water cooler available to you. Or at school, you can sip from the fountain some cold water. When you sit down in a restaurant or a diner, a glass of cold water just magically appears. I mean, you don't even ask for it most of the time. So here in verse 42, Jesus says, and if you even give a cup of cold water to one of the least of my followers, you will surely be rewarded. So he doesn't say if you give someone a cup of water, he says if you give someone a cup of cold water. He didn't have to add that word cold, did he? He could have simply said, when you give someone a cup of water, you will be rewarded. But for some reason, he decided to specify cold water. So why is that? What's the big deal with giving someone cold water? So you see, for the people of, you know, who lived in that time, drinking cold water was a rare pleasure. It didn't happen that often. They didn't have ice, they didn't have refrigerators. And so when they were able to drink some cold water, it just tasted extra good. I mean, you all know the difference between lukewarm water and nice and cold water. And in Jesus' time, it was a rare pleasure to have a cup of cold water. Also, drinking cold water meant that someone went to a lot of trouble for you. They didn't have running water yet, and they didn't have refrigeration. So the household's water came from the village well. And so it started out cool in the early morning when someone, usually one of the women or girls, walked down to the well with a clay jar, filled it, and came staggering back with it balanced on her head. And so she would set this heavy clay jar in a shady place inside the house. But as the hours went by, it lost that cool and crisp and fresh from the well taste. And by late afternoon, the time most thirsty dinner guests were likely to arrive, you were lucky if room temperature water was what you had left. So all, you know, at that time of day, a room in first century Palestine, and that kind of house, it was just about the hottest time of the day. And so if someone brings you a cup of cold water, it means she got up, ran to the well, and came back with fresh and cool water. A special trip, a special effort for honored guests. And it's not a small thing at all. It took an extra effort on the side of the host. And so unlike today, where cold water is readily available, and where most of us take it for granted, in Jesus' day, it was a rare pleasure. And Jesus says, if you give a cup of cold water, you will be rewarded. Now, the larger context here is that Jesus is sending his disciples, his true believers, into the world to share the greatest gift, the good news of salvation. And he's sending them out on a mission to bring the good news of the gospel to a hurting world. And as he's sending them out, he gives them some parting advice. Earlier in chapter 10, he tells them to preach and teach and heal with boldness. He says, if the people in one village want nothing to do with you, don't waste your time there. Move on to the next. He advises them to travel light, to be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. He tells them, don't worry about what you're going to say. Trust God to give you the right words because he will. And he says, when things get really bad, and they will, people may even hate you. Even your own relatives may hate you. And so he says, remember, they can kill the body, but not the soul. Because those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. And so it's with these and similar words of wisdom that Jesus equips his disciples for their bold and risky and momentous journey. And then in verse 40, he says to them, whoever welcomes you welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. In other words, when people welcome his disciples, it's really as if they welcome Jesus. He says, when they show you hospitality, they show me hospitality. And when they welcome me, they welcome God, the Father who sent me on this mission. But then he turns to the larger crowd standing around and he addresses them and he says to them, whoever welcomes God's messenger because he's God's messenger will share in his reward. And whoever welcomes a good man because he's good will share in his reward. You can be sure that whoever gives even a drink of cold water to one of the least of these my followers, because he is my follower, will certainly receive a reward. The disciples are going out to share the greatest gift in the world, the good news of the gospel, the way of salvation, the message and the love of Jesus. And they will offer that gift to anyone, and they will offer it for free. But instead of welcoming them, some people they meet will reject them and spurn them. They will throw back this gift in their faces. Others will accept it, but let it drop as soon as they move on. Like when you take one of those flyers from someone when you want to be polite, but as soon as you go around the corner, you dump it in a trash can, right? And some will say, okay, here's a drink for you from the old clay water jar that's been sitting in the house the whole day, if you still want it this time of day. But then, every once in a while, someone will say, here, this is for you. A cup of cold water. I fetched it from the well myself. So what we're talking about here is hospitality. It's about welcoming God's disciples. It's about welcoming God's people, welcoming even the least of Jesus' followers, welcoming strangers, welcoming the less fortunate, welcoming visitors and outsiders and guests and foreigners, being willing to give someone not just a cup of water, but a cup of cold and refreshing water. The sad truth, however, is that cups of cold water may not be as common today as we may think. In fact, they just may be as rare today as they were in Jesus' time. So more than 29 years ago, Annalise, my wife and I, decided we're going to come to the United States. We were just about to settle down. She's a physical therapist. There was a shortage of therapists in America. There were agencies all over, you know, recruiting therapists from other parts of the world. And so she met with an agency, and we said, listen, before we settle down, let's go on an adventure, right? Let's go to the United States of America for 1 year just to experience it. And after all the paperwork, and it took a long time for that to be done, because we said we want to be in New York, not in New York itself, but close to New York. And so it took longer than we thought it would. But finally, we booked our tickets, two suitcases, $1,000 in our pockets. Crazy. We wanted to be on the same flight. The agency was going to pay for Annalise's flight. So we spent the money and, you know, bought me a ticket, bought her a ticket, we're on the same flight, and then the agency was going to refund her portion when we got here, about $1,000. We landed in Tampa. She went for orientation in Clearwater. Beautiful. You know how nice it is down there, right? Then we got on the plane, and we flew to Kennedy Airport. And it was, for us, it was like, welcome to America, you know, what's the guy's name? Eddie Murphy. Took a cab to Far Rockaway. I don't know if you've ever been to Far Rockaway, where St. John's Hospital is. That's where Annalise, you know, had her first job. Through some kind of like a contact, we were able to get an apartment just across from the hospital. But as we drive, it just became shadier and shadier, and we became more nervous as we got to Far Rockaway. We get into this apartment. I don't kid you. It's so, so filthy. We managed to clean one room. We scrubbed the bath. We didn't want to sit in the bath. We just stood in the bath. And that night, Annalise was crying. Biggest mistake we've ever made. Gunshots. Kind of like too afraid to walk to the deli on the corner. And it was bad. And then after a few days, we kind of like ventured out to Long Beach, looked for a different apartment. And you know Long Beach, you know, it's much, much nicer. We met with a realtor, and he was very helpful, introduced us to a Jewish couple on West Park Avenue, right? But we had a dilemma. We had a check of just about $1,000. We wanted to open a bank account so we can deposit the check. But for us to open a bank account, we needed an address. We didn't have an address because we didn't have the money to put down for a deposit. So we were in this catch-22 situation. What are we going to do? We can't get an apartment. We can't get a bank account. So the Jewish couple, Mr. Leo Lutwin and his wife, was very nice. You know, they looked at us and said, "Oh well, I think we'll trust you. You know, put down our address, and you got the apartment." But just, you know, the realtor was so nice. He took us to his girlfriend's apartment, sold us some of her furniture. I don't even know if she knew about it. Two wingback chairs, I remember, for $30 for the two of them. We put the two chairs on his little Toyota Corolla on the roof, and we were driving with these two chairs to the apartment, and that was our first furniture. We managed to open up a bank account, and we lived in Long Beach for about a year and a half. But why am I telling this story? Because the couple and the realtor showed us hospitality, right? We went to one or two local churches on Long Island. And I'm not going to name the church as a denomination or anything. But what's strange is we didn't find a welcome there. Nobody reached out to us. Nobody even welcomed us in the church. And yet a Jewish couple and a non-believing realtor showed us the hospitality we needed at the right time. I want to encourage you today to be people who show hospitality. As members of community church, I want to encourage you to be friendly, to be welcoming to any and everyone who might come through those doors. Welcome people in a way that will say and show that they are accepted, that they are loved, that they can belong here. Because you see, as followers of Jesus, we don't simply learn or study or hear or use scripture. What we do is we assimilate God's word. We take it into our lives in such a way that it gets metabolized into acts of love, into cups of cold water. And so we don't just learn about hospitality, we show hospitality. Here at Community Church or wherever you go, wherever you find yourself throughout the week, be a person who shows hospitality in the name of Christ. And I love what Anne Lamott wrote about this. She says, most of the time, I simply have to remember to breathe and have a sip of cool water. She says the Spirit of God is not just breath and wind, but in the Christian tradition, it's also expressed as living water poured over us, poured into us, into our dark and thirsty lives. And that sometimes it streams down our faces in tears. It cleanses us. It hydrates the ground at our feet. It grows things, lifts us up and cools us down. She says, people help us, and we help them. Some days I just try to give glasses of water to everyone. Maybe that means having patience with the children in my church school or flirting with old people at the health food store or offering chocolate bar communion to the people in line at the DMV who don't have appointments because they're the most seriously afflicted of all of God's creatures. She says there was a time when I was so isolated and disgusting on the inside that I had to run around with my glass empty, hoping other people would have extra water sloshing out of theirs that they would share with me. I thought their glasses were special, while mine was a grape jelly jar with the Flintstones stamped on it. Lots of people gave me water. But what quenched my thirst was the spirit that animated their kindness. And telling the truth, which was that they had grape jelly jars too, that we all do. Who can you give a glass of cold water to today? To whom can you show hospitality in the name of Jesus this week? How can you welcome those who belong here and are very comfortable here? And how can you welcome those who are looking for a warm welcome because they don't feel accepted, who don't feel like they belong? To whom can you offer glasses of cold water, refreshing water this week? A stranger? A family member, a friend, a co-worker? Who can you welcome because you have been welcomed by Jesus himself? The Bible says the generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will be themselves refreshed. And so you see what Jesus is teaching us is that living a faithful and complete life is all about those trips down to the well to fetch a simple cup of cold water, not just for ourselves, but to give to somebody else. In the end, we're all alike in our thirst. We're all alike in our need. And the only person who can quench that thirst is the one who offers not just ordinary water, but living water forevermore. And so may we show his hospitality to all of those who cross our path. Amen. Let us pray. Lord our God, we are grateful today for people in our lives who have given us cups of water, who have welcomed us, who have helped us. Thank you for those who show hospitality because their lives have been changed by other people's hospitality or by your love. I pray that we all will reflect on our own lives and see and find those opportunities when we can do something very simple as a welcoming act by showing hospitality to each and everyone we come across. We pray that in the name of Jesus, amen.